All right, I'm here today with some brothers, four of them actually, a father and a son and two friends from a island called Montserrat. And I want to introduce, we have Ryan Jr. who will start speaking, his father next to him, Ryan Sr. There's also Philip and Perry. These brothers have been studying the Bible, and we're gonna learn how the Lord has led them and what it is that they're learning about what God has in his mind for us and for all people around the world. So, dear brother Ryan Jr., tell us about what you have in your thoughts for what's going on with you brothers.
Yes, so for me, want to talk that way, I started to reform and take my spiritual life seriously. And what happened by 2013, Brother Philip would have shared with me the doctrine of the truth of the Godhead. And, you know, it startled me, but I decided to go and look at it. And, you know, I went and looked at a video and on the internet. And after looking at that video, I was excited. You know, I can't believe this was happening. And so my father was the first elder at that time. And, you know, I wanted to share it with someone. So I decided, wait, I can't share with that because he's the first elder. And, you know, I don't know if I will get in trouble or not. So he had Brother Perry who was living nearby at that time. And I had the book, Christ in Song, in my hand with some of the changes and the Trinity songs that I would in the hymnal. And my another book, I can't remember what it was at that time. So I decided to run down to Brother Perry and say, Brother Perry, this thing is real. And Brother Perry looked at me and said, you got to be careful with that.
And let me say, you were excited in 2013. That's actually earlier than a lot of people that I've spoken to recently. You were excited in 2013. You started finding some information out, and you didn't want to bring it to your dad because he was, you said, the first elder, but you brought it to Brother Perry, right? Is that what, did I understand correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
I know, so he, as I said before, he said, you got to be careful. He looked at me, and after that, we quieted about it. But eventually, I remember later down the year, I started to do my research, and I came across Nedar Mansour and his site. And so I stayed home that day and decided to go through some of his PDF files and so on. And there I found a book called The Trinity Confusion. And in that book, it explained to me the Babylonian experiences and the different, all Babylonian experiences having the same three gods right down, how it came right into the church, the Protestant churches, and even right down to in Sanabaptism, and it was by 1980 was voted as we know. And so that really gave me an understanding and an experience to really see how this thing came in. So I started to reason in my own mind. I said, I'm born in 1986, and this doctrine was passed just 6 years before I was born. So that right now, that doctrine, the Trinity doctrine is in the church for 40 years. And I'm like, for only 40 years, you know, and then I compare when our denomination, Sunday Methodist Church, started, and in 1863. And I said, 170 years, for at least we have this doctrine not been taught as much, I believe, for 170 years, compared to 40 years, something must be wrong. So that helped me not to go examine both sides. And I remember listening to a video from our president, Ted Wilson.
I like your theme for the 2011 ASI convention, inspired to finish strong. Inspired by God the Father. Inspired by God the Son. Inspired by God the Holy Spirit. The three persons of the Godhead in one, who are from everlasting and are everlasting.
You know, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Then I read some information from G.I. Butler, president at that time, and he was writing to Kellogg to Sister White, sorry, saying Kellogg is now taking the strain of the Trinity doctrine. So like, wait, we didn't believe it then, and here's it that we believe it now. Why? And you know, as I started to go and search, I started to go to the Bible now and to John chapter 14, where it talks about the Comforter, and that explained to me so well. And Christ said to Judas, you know, how you gonna manifest? No, Judas said to Christ, how you gonna manifest unto us and not unto the world? Yeah. And he said in reply, we will come and make our abode with you. And even early up, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. So the Comforter, and you know, as going to the story, I realized five times in the Bible, the word Comforter is mentioned. But in one particular text, it said that it said
advocate.
Right. And when I look up the word advocate, it came out to prove that it was talking about Jesus Christ, the Comforter. Yeah. And yeah. My experience started to grow from there. The Bible started to become more open. And I accept the word of God for what it was saying rather than what men were saying to me.
So you went through and found a website, Nader Mansour's website. You found some PDFs. You started reading. Things opened wide up to your mind. You went to John chapter 14. You started reading. And there you were able to see that Christ was referring to himself as the Comforter. And then, of course, you went to find the word advocate or parakletos occurring five times in the Bible. And that's exciting. So wonderful. That's a blessing. Now, during that time, you, Ryan Jr., you were speaking to, you didn't want to talk to your father, Ryan Sr., but you spoke with Perry. Now, during that whole time you were reading, were you interacting with Perry then, or did that come a little bit later, or even before that?
Yes, we were interacting, and we were sharing, and he started to understand as we started to share with each other from the Bible standpoint.
So, Perry, you came into that picture and you started hearing him. Did you already believe this? Or is that why you said you need to be careful? Or was this something that was new to you as well?
Well, it was something that was new to me, right? So when he came to me with it, it was like, I mean, you need to be careful because, I mean, I never heard of something like this, right? So when he came to me, I was like, okay, let me look at it. And as I began to start to do some research and to study, it was one of the study that Nadal did based on the Godhead. It was a PDF file. So I went through it and he was explaining, the set thing, the Godhead, you know, the Father and the Son, right? And one of the things that was explained, you know, like who is Christ in the Bible, right? And who is Christ, who is God of the Bible? And I went through all of that. And in going through all of that, my understanding began to open. But at the same time, I used to listen to a few pastors, you know, I go on YouTube and I used to, and one of the pastors I used to listen to was Doug Batchelor.
Yeah.
And I know that Doug Batchelor, you know, he have a fairly understanding of the Bible, and he explained some of our doctrine very well. But when I hear his support on the Trinity, I began to doubt, you know, wondering if it is the right thing that I'm doing, you know. But I continue to study, and myself and Alvaron continue to communicate and to share our understanding, and gradually we began to grow, because it's around this set time Brother Alvern, as he been exposed to this truth, you know, I myself was exposed to it and began to study too, and you know, we continue until this very day, we are still studying. And one of the things too, I remember looking at your video, you do a video with Nadal when you you know, when you accept this truth, and Nadal was the one that interviewed you, mm-hmm. and, you know, and you're sharing your experience, and that kind of helped me, you know, because and said, you know, this thing is real and I need to do some more further research on it. And yes, I began to study more in depth.
Hey, man. And so that was in 2017 then, it must have been, right? Okay. So you had been studying already from Brother Ryan Jr., you said 2013. So now I have a question for Ryan Jr. When did you go and speak with your father, Ryan Sr., who at the time, back in 2013, was an elder, the first elder of the church? Was it sometime later, or tell us maybe about that?
Well, my mama goes back to a point in time we were having family worship, and I was sharing with him some of the things that I found out. And, you know, we went to the Bible and so on in our devotion. And I know my father, he doesn't take everything just like that. He's a man that will go and do his, he will listen to you, and he will go and do his research and then come back. Of, I say in about 2018, 19, I realized my father started to come to me and say, you know, this thing is true. And he started to show me text. I said, yes, you know, and we were on the same page. Probably he will add more as to our interaction concerning this doctrine that we found to be the truth.
So now you said in 2018 or 19, that is when you were able to share with your father?
Correction, 17.
2017. Okay, so Ryan Sr., when you learned from your son something different than what the church had been teaching, and something that you probably were not familiar with either, having been a first elder for some years, maybe you can tell us how long and whatever, but what was your experience?
Okay, I must say my son was a good boy, but a bad boy. He held a secret for about 4 years, 2 to 4 years before, right? And then I said, okay, I start to question it. And I got some of the same PDF files. So I start to read, I start to study, I start to compare. And I say, these things seem to be true. But I was fighting it all the way because I was baptized in 1972. And if you look at my baptismal certificate, there's nothing on it about any Trinity. So I did not swear to accept it, right? So I was struggling. So when they speak with me, especially with Brother Philip here, and I'm trying to defend myself using the normal text that they have in the 28th fundamental, he will give me some other text to consider. He was quoting some other text. I'm saying, okay, I'll go and look at that. So over a period of reading for myself and bouncing things off them, I began to come to the conclusion that I was believing a lie.
Wow.
In the interim, I was no longer an elder. I chose to relinquish the head eldership. I tell them I would serve still, but I'm still in the church. I'm still a church member. I'm willing to work. But what happened is that they had put a restriction on me and going to the pulpit. It was a point where about 4 Sabbaths on a row, I was told, prepare to preach this Sabbath. But when I reached there, somebody else took it.
Oh, wow. So that you were kicked out of the pulpit pretty quick then.
I was kicked out of the pulpit. I happened to get in one time because they were sorted. I got a call like Friday evening after we worship, after we finish our worship here, and I go to look at my telephone, my WhatsApp messages, and there was a message to say, could you prepare to preach tomorrow? Mm-hmm. I said, no problem. I call, God will be with me, I'll come. So yeah. I went up and I spoke. I spoke on a topic I call what? Power, what is a power? Creative power. Okay. I didn't want to use the word Trinity because that time I was really targeted as preaching something that is not right. So I used the topic creative power, and I've come to from Genesis through to show all the works of creation that was done, and it was done by the Father and the Son with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God in tow with them. Amen. A month after that sermon, I was called in by a former head elder. He wasn't head elder at that time, but he came with the head elder, called me into a meeting and said, "You have done something wrong." "What is it?" I had quoted from Acts of the Apostles 50 something.
50,
where he talked about the Holy Spirit being the comforter and so on and so on. But he called me now, and what he said was wrong is that I should have gone on to the next paragraph. I said, no, according to my topic that I'm discussing, what the paragraph I did was sufficient. Mm-hmm. So that became more of a problem. And that time I was completely cut out of the pulpit.
You presented a message about God's creative power. You quoted from Acts of the Apostles, page 50 in the first paragraph, and you were reprimanded because they wanted you to read the next paragraph, which probably meant or says that the Holy Spirit is a mystery and we're not to, you know, silence is golden, right?
Okay. So they say I should have come down to me.
Got you. Okay, so you were kicked off of the pulpit after one sermon.
After one sermon, yeah.
Okay.
But I think I only got in there by default, I think. Shortage of people unprepared. But before that sermon, somebody has sent me a video. I think it was done by David Mould.
Yeah.
And it was entitled Catholic in the Adventist Hymnal.
Yes, that's a good series. That's a really powerful message.
So I said, wow. When I said, good. So I went back to my hymnal and I went back to the hymns and I got an appointment and I decided, okay, I'm going to preach on this. Right? And the head elder called me. Well, I went to his house. We were good friends. Mm-hmm. I went to his house and as soon as I come in, there was an unusual anger. You did something wrong. You preach, you talk about this Trinity, and you have to go and correct it. I said, no, as far as you understand, I preach nothing wrong. You are the head elder, you have the pulpit. If you know I got something wrong, you go and preach against it.
Yeah.
Okay?
There you go.
So from since that, it has been a tango. There was another occasion when there was a joint meeting. We have five congregations here. Four since the volcano. Four small congregations. And we had a joint meeting, and I was conducting Sabbath school. I should not have been up there because there was some anger, because I shouldn't even be conducting Sabbath school. And somebody asked a question. They read John 16, in that quote of John 16, where the Holy Spirit is referred to he all the time.
Yeah.
And then his conclusion was, nobody's supposed to refer to the Holy Spirit as it. So I said, no, the Bible referred to the Holy Spirit as it. Yeah. Just as at the time I couldn't remember the text, I was looking for it.
1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. There you go.
Right. And I was looking at the 12 Romans, the Holy Spirit itself. Romans 8,
26.
And 26. Yeah, I was looking for some, but then they went into an uproar. And here was where the uproar in the church. The pastor took over and he had a very angry retort to what I said. All kind of names were called. I will repeat them now. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so the elder who asked the question, who said we're not supposed to call it, I refer him to the Bible and to the Spirit of Prophecy. I don't remember which place in the Spirit of Prophecy, but I said, Sister Wise speaks a lot of time referring to the Spirit as it. Yeah. And his comment was, and I think that stirred up the church some more, are we supposed to obey Sister White or the Bible?
He forgot that
it was in the Bible.
So now they switched on you, right? Because you're supposed to read Acts of the Apostles, page 50, paragraph 2, but then they switch on you, say, no, we're supposed to have the Bible first, right?
Yeah. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, so I wanted to get the pastor and that elder's feedback. I sent email to them. I sent you to the quote that he, with the Holy Spirit as he, and I didn't go to the Sister White since they were protesting it. I sent with the scripture of the Holy Spirit as it.
Yeah.
The pastor responded and set a time for meeting. We didn't meet. He set another time for meeting. we didn't meet again. And then the elder now, he didn't respond at all, right? Mm. But I know that they have been saying that you're preaching false doctrine and all of that.
Wow, so now during this time where you were preaching periodically because you weren't really able to get on much at the pulpit because they already suspected you were teaching something wrong, you were able to share a couple of things, but you had mentioned also that Philip was there with you. Were you interacting with Philip during that time, right at the beginning in 2017 when you started reading, or was it a little bit later than that?
Well, yeah, it was like when we meet, he didn't come to my house to study. I didn't go to his house to study. But as we meet and time to time, we discuss things, and I'm telling him my conviction, and he's giving me some other passages to consider. And normally when people give me a passage to consider, I would go and consider it. I'll go to my concordance, I take different versions and everything, and try to satisfy myself whether I should accept or reject. Okay. Just happened that in the cases, I couldn't go against the scripture quoted, because what happened that when I met with the elder, when he called me into a meeting one time, he told me that all I need to know is found in the 28 fundamental belief.
Wow.
Telling him, make things easy for me. Tell me where I got wrong from the 28 fundamental. He said, you go and read all of it. So I took his instruction. I went through and I go through the fundamentals with all the texts quoted from the Trinity and the Holy Spirit. And I get the Greek Hebrew terms and realize it was not talking of a person, but is the breath of God, is the spirit of God and the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So I send this study to him and tell him, let us come and have a discussion on this. I'll finish my reading. And he just refused to come. In the interim, he went abroad and I posted that same study to him and the head elder and said, let us meet on Skype. And again, they refused.
Wow.
So it seems to be that I have been so wrong, so far off that I can't come back on. So there's a refusal to let us meet and consider the situation.
You know, I've heard this kind of story so many hundreds of times where people with convictions, after they have studied the Bible, will come to their elder or a friend in the church or the pastor. Most often they come to the pastor because he's the guy that's supposed to know everything, having been taught at the seminaries, etc. And they so often are unwilling to respond to texts, to emails, to phone calls, or especially to meet in person. There'll be one or two times where they'll meet and then they just won't meet again. They'll just get the church board to basically kick you out. Now, so Philip, you were interacting with Ryan Sr. during this time. Now, what was your experience in the matter?
Well, my experience really is the troubler of Israel.
Okay.
I was the one who, at the beginning really, who talked to Senior.
Okay.
And Perry. Yeah, the matter of fact, we were in a study and I said, guys, we need to break and go and study it individually. And after that period, we all come up with the same conclusion, you know, and I said, you're going to hear many voices, but let us listen to the scriptures and the spirit of prophecy.
Wow.
You know, and as time goes on, the matter of fact, the first issue was, it was with the, that Christ came in a celestial body. And that started up a problem, and the pastor was saying he studied at school. And I said, Pastor, it cannot be. If Christ came in a celestial body, it cannot be my example.
That's right.
And so we quote, I quote the Desire of Ages, where he came when human race was degraded down to 4,000 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was literally being, because I'm a very aggressive person at the time. Okay. You know, and you know, after a while, everything, they tried to push me aside. And I was eventually the first elder also,
okay,
right? But we never take it up and put it you know, go on the pulpit. But if I meet, if we're in discussion, it will come up. Or I will share it with somebody. You know, even though I tell the guys them keep it to themselves, but I couldn't keep it.
Yeah, okay. You get excited when you learn the truth about the Father and His Son. It's a refreshing, very simple, and very biblical truth that just gives you the eyes to see. So I'm glad.
Yes, and then eventually, you know, as you're being ignored, you know, and being then what begin to happen, I realize that even pastors begin to respond to me in a negative way. It's like, I'm not a part of the church. I'm literally an enemy. They call me Shepherd Rod.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so forth. And it was, you know, one time I take it so hard that, you know, not even these guys know about it. But the Spirit of God tell me, do not worry, John 9. Study John 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that to be that we are that blind boy, that young man who were born blind.
Yeah.
When Jesus opened our eyes, we will be eventually be thrown out to the church, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, as we study and realize that the Sunday law is going to clean up the church, and those who hold on to the truth, the latter rain will pour out upon them, and they will finish the work. You know, and it's not an easy task. I mean, it's real bad, because what is happening? They are having discussion. They are having meetings without us. And then when they come out of these meetings, you don't know what they're saying. And, you know, and I don't vex with none of them. Matter of fact, for my temperament was so aggressive, when I begin to understand the true God and His only begotten Son, then my temperament begins. So they expect this aggressiveness, but they never get it.
Oh, praise
and so it's like you throw them off, you know.
So your experience, I want to point that out for a second. Your experience was that you were an aggressive person and probably maybe a little bit loud, maybe a little bit assertive. But when you started teaching the Father and the Son truth, you were very humble and willing to just speak more calmly, etc. And it took them by surprise. That's the gospel. That's the kind of stuff that changes a life. Amen.
Yes, yes. And so as time goes on, they begin to... Matter of fact, we were on a radio program. We usually have a radio program. And they say we are teaching too much of doctrine. You know, we were using the Bible readings of the home for the home.
Yeah.
You know, and there we realized that certain things begin to happen, and they begin to do everything to sidestep us. And, you know, it was so sad, you know. And today I still not even angry with none of them. You know, because when you begin to realize what the enemy is trying to do, you know, it's trying to put division, it's trying to make you hate. And so when you end up with guilt, you find yourself in a world, you cannot even get forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole principle that the Lord is teaching us in this, that we have to remain humble, and it's no matter what they throw at us, we should still show love. You know,
amen.
And it's sad. They where the aggressive thing is coming from. What we see lately, what I identify lately, is as more pastors begin to get their doctorate, this begin to get more deadly, mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, they don't even want to be called pastors. It's doctors. You know, Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So. Fulfilling Matthew chapter 23.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing wrong with being go and get your doctorate, but when you take that title over the one that God gave you, something wrong.
Yeah,
you know,
as
we begin to study and so forth, everything begins to get clearer and clearer and clearer, you know. And so the sad part of it, they never want to sit down and discuss with us. That is the problem up to today.
I understand that. There's a lot of people who tell, you know, we don't want to discuss this. We don't want this in our church. You can't pass out literature. We don't want any emails from you. Just, you know, hush, go somewhere else. Now, I remember being told earlier in our conversation that I think it was in January or February this year, they tried to shut you down. Tell me more about that. What was that about?
Well, even go back a little further. After I realized something was going on, a pastor came over and said he wanted to talk to me. And he said to me that in the conference, they were preparing to vote to literally kick me out of the church.
Yeah.
And so he said he cannot do that. As a pastor, he have to hear both sides. Mm-hmm. And so I explained to him, and then he said to me, well, if God sent you to rebuke the church, who is I? And so from that, I didn't hear nothing else. And I did see I was rebuking the church. I just see I'm sharing truth, you know? And then I wrote a letter to our board, church board, and asked, you know, to see the board. And so they see me, and when I went there, I said, there is something going on, so I need to know if my church board know what is happening. And the church board did not know anything, but they begin to ask me questions about the Trinity.
Really?
So the pastor at the time was saying, we don't come here to discuss that. And so they begin to ask questions. I said, if we can discuss, I can show you from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy what I'm saying. Let us just sit down and discuss. And there's no discussion, bam, and then you usually hear from the pastors, if it was I would just leave the church. But leave the church, go where? There is no other church to go to. There is no group to join. Even if they disfellowship me, the Adventist church is still the remnant church of God.
Yes, I agree. It was called to be the remnant church. But that's just as Israel was called to be God's people when Christ came. And so when they rejected the truth about the Son of God, they actually crucified him. And what happened as a result? There was a scattering, and the apostles went and started teaching all around the world. The gospel went everywhere, and there was great reformation, even the early rain, which we know is going to be in type to the latter rain. And so it is very clear to me since 1980 that the Seventh-day Adventist Church chose publicly, personally, and corporately, they chose a wrong God. And as a result, they have crucified for themselves again the Son of God afresh. And so I have a question for you then. Do you feel like you want to be part of a organization that when you share the truth from the Bible, they cast you out of the synagogue? Is that the church that you want to be part of, or have you been thinking about that much?
Of course, I was thinking about it. The Lord audibly, you know, that little still voice. In my conversion, that little voice, little speak to me in my conversion to make that decision. Because I used to a person who used to lime, drink, and party a lot. And I tell the pastor I don't mind to be baptized, but when I came back, because I want to have that one more carnival. And so the voice come by my ear and said, who told you you will come back alive?
Yeah.
So I looked, and there were nobody close to me. And then 5 minutes after, another voice with a vision shows me that you're going to miss out on liming. You're going to miss out on adultery. You're going to miss out on fornication. And so I reasoned in myself that the first vice, that was God.
Amen.
Did not know that text was in Isaiah. You will hear a voice telling you what to do. And the second voice, I realized it was Satan, because he did not want me to give up my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I baptized that day. That was in 1998.
Okay.
And so when I was, you know, they're pondering what is happening and the condition of the church, the voice said to me, the Son of the Lord will clean up the church.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was it. The Son of the Lord will come and clean up the church.
Yeah.
As we go on, one more thing there, the Spirit revealed to me with Joshua and Caleb. 40 years. They were hated, they were put down, and they were there for 40 years. And when time come to cross over, God called on the two who the church reject.
That's right. Amen. So the third angel's message is pretty clear, that you can either, you worship the beast and his image, or you worship the Father and his image. We know that the Father has a son and the beast has an image like a son. And so that's really what it's about. The mark of the beast is the worshiping according to the commandments of the beast and his image, whereas the seal of God is worshiping according to the commandments of the Father and his son. We're going to choose between the two, and that really will be a major part of deciphering who is on God's side and who is worshiping the false god. So it's definitely, you're right in that. I do agree. I tend to believe that God is raising up his people based on who is accepting the truth. They are those scattered around the world that are saying, I want the truth from the Bible, no matter what church, no matter what book, no matter what church manual, no matter what pastor, no matter what minister or president says, I want what's in the Bible. And so I believe that's what we want, and I pray that we'll be able to continue in that direction. Any other words from you brothers there?
Yes, I would like to share two experiences that I've experienced. I was also an elder in training, okay. and eventually they asked me to write my sermons, to give my sermons to be read by the pastor. We call it
to be vetted. Vet sermons, yeah.
Oh, so before you were preaching, they wanted you to have the sermons vetted.
Yes.
Vetted. Okay.
And so I decided, well, that troubled me. I came home and I started to ponder about it, and the Lord led me to a quote in Desire of Ages, I think on page 506, and said, let every man, we call it from the scripture, let every man be persuaded in his own mind, and no man's conscience supposed to force anybody else's conscience. Amen. Right? So I said, no, I'm not going to be saying in any. And so I went to church, and what happened was that if the first elder came to me and said, you know, you haven't sent in your sermon to be vetted, why you haven't done that? I said to him, well, is it a one way? Why didn't you call me to ask me for my sermon? And, you know, I said, he said to me, well, today you will not be preaching. And I said, okay, well, to God be the glory. And I walked inside and sat down. Then shortly after, the pastor came in and said, we have a sister from such and such an island to preach to us.
Oh, wow.
Then when you look, they called me up on the pulpit still. And I said, okay, I will go. I humble myself and go. And when I was up there, the lady that was presenting, she wasn't even prepared. And she went to the church that day, just like the Spirit of God was not there.
Wow.
Then shortly after that,
let me just put in 2 cents here. No one know what did happen to him. No one.
Okay.
And everybody is saying it's like the Spirit of God was not in the church. Wow. She was literally begging for an amen. Nobody was responding. Nothing. It was just like, and then after now we were saying, boy, like today the Spirit of God, like it was not even in the church.
Wow.
And then we find out what was happening.
Okay.
Yes, and on the instance that the pastor called me into a meeting, I thought it was an elders meeting, you know, and by that time my father and brother Philip had basically resigned from eldership duties, and I was the one there.
Refused. We were set aside.
Okay. And, you know, I was there and they called an elders meeting, and I sort of thought it was all the elders that was to be present. Lo and behold, it was the first elder, another elder, and the pastor, and myself there in the meeting. And the pastor asked, do you know that there's a trinity of books? So I was listening to him, and he said to me, the church manual, the elders manual, and I can't remember what the other one was.
The fundamental.
28 fundamental beliefs.
Oh no.
And then he said to me, I have a thin line to meet with you. But up to this day, they haven't met that thin line. And so I was there like, I'm not going to help them, you know. You know, because I guess they already started to hear that, okay, Brother Ryan, because they started to say, I'm indoctrinated by Brother Philip and all this kind of talk that we're going on. It came to a point where they warned a brother of ours who accept this truth as well, not to come around us anymore because we are dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, so as the, in that meeting, they asked me a few more questions, a few other questions, and one of them was that, Brother Ryan, do you have a car? And I said, of course, I have a car. But he knew it already. And do your car have a manual? And I said, yes. But before he reached the answer, I said, but I don't understand because it's written in Japanese.
That's interesting.
And then he goes, cut the conversation and move on.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I was supposed to be ordained and they refused because there was a question mark over my head, you know?
Yeah.
And others got ordained, other elders also got ordained, but I was left out. And I said to God, let's go, because I am standing for what the Bible says.
Amen.
Let me put a little piece in on the proposed ordination. He was a deacon, unordained, and he was now appointed to the eldership. Round here, we still hold on to this elder in training. Now, they were going to have ordination of both deacons and elders. What they told him was, you have to be ordained as a deacon first before you could be ordained as an elder.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, tell them, your father was ordained as an elder and was never even a deacon to be ordained as a deacon. So this was part of the plan to keep him out of the pulpit. They ordained others, but did not ordain him as an elder because he has to wait to be ordained as a deacon.
Yeah.
It so happened that the conference, our headquarters in Antigua, the president came down, and I asked that question, where do we get this information? Tell me, where is it that if you got to be an elder, you have to be ordained as a deacon first? And the president said, that is nowhere in our regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just what the pastor and the head elders were doing. The tricks they were working to keep him out of the pulpit.
Lies.
Terrible.
They come up, it's like everyone is a law unto themselves when here's why. The idea that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has the truth is rampant in the world. Like, oh, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. When I came into the truth, you know, I have the truth. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. But when you share with them, pastors, leaders, members, anybody, that their truth is not what they think it is, it's broken, there's a big hole in what they call the truth, it's almost like they don't think straight. They start to, I have seen and heard people lie. They're Seventh-day Adventists, they lie. They are misrepresenting people, they're speaking contrary, they're coming up with things that you really, in some cases, make no sense at all. And it's because they're starting to be shaken. They try to realize, or they try to think that they have truth, but really they don't in regard to God, His Son, and frankly, a slew of other things as well that are quite rampant in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But yeah, so you've experienced some of what I've experienced as well, and also I know many others in other places. That's why, for example, the other day I had, it was an elder with another elder and somebody else that was going to go with him. I don't remember exactly who, but they said, I'm going to be meeting with the pastor and we'll give you an update after what happens because, you know, this has been crazy already. I told him, I said, please take my advice. Audio record the message and let that pastor know it's going to be audio recorded or else you're not going to meet. And he said, yeah, that's a really good idea. And the reason why I say that is because I'm telling you, there have been many pastors that have said specific things in meetings with people, but then later they will deny that they ever said it. And so the whole purpose is like, okay, if you're going to be with me, we're going to remember what's being said. I'll record myself. I'm going to record you as well. And then I'll give you the copy if you want it. But the whole point is that people are going to know what's being said here. And I know many times the pastors aren't willing to do that. So anyways, that's just a thought that I had. So are any other thoughts in regard to what's going on there in Montserrat?
Yes, you know, one of the things that I've experienced over some since I started to study the Bible in the true light as it is, you know, I realized that the mountaineers that are called to those who, like us, who now receive the truth of God, the God the Father and His Son, His only begotten Son, is that they're aggressive. But I see it in a different way. I'm finding that we are the most humble ones. And so the Spirit of God is working in and through us. And I just like to share this quote that I, in my devotion this morning, it says here, coming from Ministry of Healing, page 466, paragraph 2, says, in the light that shines from the throne, mysteries will disappear, and the soul will be filled with astonishment at the simplicity of the things that were never before comprehended. And today they're saying to us that the Trinity doctrine is a mystery when you can't go anymore to try to explain it away using the scriptures. And so that's sending me right back to Colossians, where Paul was writing to the Colossians in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And he says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And that's why we see today that so many of us, God is pointing us back to the truth of himself and his Son and their Holy Spirit, amen, which is their real presence. And, you know, and verse 27, this well-known one, says, to whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
So all we want to know that is Christ in us.
Amen.
And not we displaying our own human ways. Because when we display our own human ways, we will fail. But when Christ is in us, we see the humbleness of Christ. Because the Bible says then in James 4 verse 10, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Those are great verses and a great quote. I'm really appreciative of those things. Go ahead, sir.
I say, so far though, we haven't been officially disfellowshipped. They have asked to relinquish the offices, and where we had keys, we turned the keys in. As I said, that was somewhere around February, but we haven't met on it again, because if we are going to follow the man-made church manual, then we're supposed to be called before the church in general meeting for the church to verify the disfellowship, but we haven't reached that yet. But okay. That's what we suspect it's coming.
Yeah, and when we get this, there are new pastor come over from St. Vincent. He's a humble pastor. Respect him. And so he, matter of fact, when I speak to him, I tell him I will not mention the Trinity. And you have to find out what is going on before you want me to be an elder. He eventually called back me and Alfred to be elders. But so we were elders both for 2 weeks.
I take it about two weeks.
About two weeks. And then he came back to me and asked me if I believe in the statement in the fundamental belief or the
fundamental.
Yes, we said
co-equal beings.
Do you believe in the free co-equal co-eternal beings? Free. Huh. I said, well, we're gonna run into problems. Because manuscript 14, 1107, give us a very interesting topic, unity on the Holy Spirit, where Brother Campbell have an issue. He did believe that the Holy Spirit was Gabriel and that the 144,000 would be Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't accept that the Holy Spirit was Christ. And he read through the whole chapter. And when he meet the part which says, those two errors, and he said, there's no two error. I said, yes, it's two error. You just read it. So he went back up to the top when he was saying that he don't accept the Holy Spirit, which is Christ. I said, that was the belief of the church.
Yeah.
I said, no, continue reading at the end. She got to explain John 14, 16 and 17. And when he go down, he says, this is referred to the omnipresence of Christ called the Comforter. Yes. So he tell me, I know what that mean. I said, what? He said, the Holy Spirit brings the presence of Christ. I said, it just tell me it was the presence, is the presence of Christ called the Comforter. And I said, that mean, now I said that the president then explained this verse total different to the prophetess. And I said, I got to lean on the prophet side, that the Bible tells me if I obey God, we'll be established. And if I follow the prophet, we'll be prospering. So I have to go with the prophetess. So he quote Desire of Ages, the third person. I said, I believe, I accept it. But it's how you explain the third person. You cannot drop the rest quotation. You cannot drop the rest verses. And so that is where the problem is. They are holding to some and they're ignoring. And so one of the texts that they refuse to even answer to is John 20, verse 22. You know, and you know, and so it is sad. And I pray that the Spirit of God, they may listen to the Spirit of God and accept, thus said the Lord. And not thus said the state, not thus said the church, but thus said the Lord. Amen. You know, and it's just a blessing. It was a blessing because what was happening, it was truly searching, and we are seeing no pastors. Like, so I said, you know, it's something you feel like if you're wrong, you're going crazy or something. Mm-hmm. I said, no pastor see this? and so when you came on the scene, I said, wow. All time.
My wife, we were there watching you. And was great rejoicing. Yes, finally, like a pastor, you know.
Praise the Lord. It
brought joy to our hearts to see a pastor standing up for the thus said the Lord.
And then we begin to see more pastors, and we are hearing about more pastors, you know. And the sad thing too, what was said to by most of the pastors, that there are certain things that we don't believe, but we're not preaching. And I said, that don't make any sense. If you don't accept it as truth, why then you're preaching it? You know, and it's sad. And so much of experience, you know, as you say, so much of experience. But by the grace of God, I know that eventually, if this fellowship comes, we still will press on by the grace of God. And we know that the true remnant will be the one who teach that there is one God and his son, Jesus Christ, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
Good. Well, thank you all for meeting so much. I really appreciate it. And it's a blessing to get to know you a little bit. And I know that Montserrat is a place blessed now because there are four brothers there that believe the truth and want to spread the news, the good news of salvation of God the Father through his Son to anybody who's willing to accept it. And so we praise the Lord for you all there. And I ask that maybe, Perry, you've been kind of quiet. Did you have anything else to say, or would you mind closing in prayer for us?
What I would like to say is that I still continue to study. No pastors never come at my home and to ask me anything about what I believe, right? So I am still continue to study in the Word. And for me, if they're going to approach me, I don't have a problem, you know. And I will stand for what the Bible teach, and I'm going to hold fast on that. But I'm just waiting for the time when they will come and probably say that, I mean, like my other brothers, you know, say that, I mean, I would have to, you know, think. But nobody never came to me.
Things were said, but they never approached.
Yeah, things were said, but they never approached me from the professor, yeah.
Okay. Dangerous,
yes.
Man.
I suspect what happened. His office was deacon, but he taught what group? He teach
it was
young, some young.
Yeah, I think he,
yeah.
Is it primary?
He's the primary, but he wasn't at the elder level, so probably didn't count him as a danger as me, myself, and Brother Philip and my son who were serving also. We teach classes too.
But we were
also elders, so maybe that's why they haven't gone after him yet.
But there was a point in time that his daughter was standing up a few years ago with Brother Phil's daughter and so on, they were getting in trouble and saying that the fathers are teaching them wrong, and they were considering him dangerous because the young man that they warned from meeting with us, they also warned from meeting with him, and he's a young man that came back and told us that's what the elder and the pastor called him into a meeting for.
Wow.
So your children are involved in sharing too?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And we have many friends who are, that are down here, speaking with them often, that believe it and accepting it. They heard about us. Just like I was speaking with one of them, and said, we heard about you, and what they said about you, and everything, but we believe what you believe now.
Wow.
Yes, so.
Praise
but that's not bad. I comes into a lawyer's office one day.
Yes.
My nephew,
non-Adventist
lawyer. And soon as I step in, he started to question me, you don't believe in the spirit and blah, blah, blah. I had another question with a relative of his. So I suspect he was speaking. And he went to tell the lawyer that I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I said, no, that is wrong. I believe in the Father and the Son, mm-hmm. and they have a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they went into a non-Adventist lawyer to try, I only assume, to sort out the problem of what the church believes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, so they went to a non-Adventist lawyer to try to sort out what the church believes. And
because the lawyer told me, he didn't tell me who, but I kind of suspect because of the interaction I have with another elder who have a connection with that lawyer.
Okay, interesting. So you guys are going to keep preaching the truth using the Bible, and you're going to be exposing as much of the truth as possible. We're going to be praying for you, asking for the Lord's blessings I'm asking anybody who sees this video to pray for these brothers in Montserrat, and may it be that the Lord continues to bless and lead you all.